Let's just begin with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for this day you have made. We just thank you that you're a good father, that everything is under your control. We just thank you that you're a sovereign Lord, that you have the best in mind for all of us. And we just thank you that you're with us every step of the way. Father, I just thank you that you've now it's December. You've watched and taken care of us all these past months, and I just pray that we'll be able to finish strong this year. Father, I just also just pray that you'll use me as your empty vessel this morning to share your word and your heart with my brothers and sisters here today. We love you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. So good morning, everyone. We'll be reading just three verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, so verse 16 to 18. So this is from the ESV version. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And the message version goes, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you, who belong to Christ Jesus, to live. So for those of you who have kids in SB Kids, you may know this was the memory verse in November. And it's also, I think, a particularly apt verse given we just celebrated Thanksgiving last week. And, we are entering the final month of 2021 already. So it's also a great time to reflect upon the past year and consider whether we have been able to live out this verse in our lives this past year. So you'll note from the verse that there are basically three imperative statements, three commands, and which are to firstly, rejoice always. Secondly, to pray without ceasing. And third, to give thanks in all circumstances. And so this morning, I actually just would like to spend a bit of time focusing on the third command. So the title of my message is Thankfulness During Difficult Times. So just a very brief word on the book of Thessalonians. So Paul wrote this letter to the church in Thessalonica, probably around 49 to 51 AD from Corinth during his second mission trip. So Thessalonica is actually the capital of Macedonia. It has a population then around of over 100,000 people to 200,000 people. It's a very important trade route. And in terms of the religions that were dominant at that time in Thessalonica included, the Greco-Roman gods, some Egyptian cults. But it also had a very strong Jewish population there in Thessalonica. And we know from Acts 17 that Paul had only actually spent a rather short amount of time teaching the believers in Thessalonica before he had to leave quite abruptly. And then later on, Timothy was sent back to assess the status of the new converts and the church in Thessalonica. So Paul's letter to the Thessalonians here was actually a response to Timothy's report on the local situation. And Timothy's report was saying it was generally quite positive, but also there were issues because the Christians in Thessalonica were starting to experience death among the community, and they weren't sure what would happen to them in Christ's return. So one of the key purposes of Paul's letter was to encourage them and to let them know that both the dead and the living believers would be safe at the second coming. And when we eventually get to chapter 5, where our verse is, this is primarily to give additional guidance to the church in Thessalonica on how to act, how to live as a community of believers, as followers of Christ. So, looking at the verse, I think we can all agree that thankfulness, being thankful, is unquestionably a good thing. Thankfulness is a sign that we do not take things for granted and that we appreciate what we have been given. And for parents, you want to have thankful children. You don't want them to take for granted, all the blood, sweat, tears, and effort you put into investing in them to raise them well and to take care of them. And I remember there was a period of time, I think only a few months ago, where whenever my wife or myself would take my daughter out for an activity, and afterwards would be, hey, did you have a good time? Were you happy? And she'd be like, I'm not so happy. And we're like, oh, why are you not happy? You just did, an activity that you really wanted to do. It's like, oh, it's because I didn't also get to do, activity B, activity C. I didn't get to buy this. I didn't get to eat this. And from a parent's perspective, that's just very frustrating to hear, because you just want a little gratitude from your child, for all the energy and time that you spent on doing the thing that did happen. But we as adults, in our relationship with God, are often like that too. I came across a podcast by R.C. Sproul last week. And in the podcast, he asked the question, "What's your, if you were had to, you had to reflect, in your own life, what would be your base sin, like most base sin? What would be your worst action of evil?" And then R.C. Sproul goes on to ask the question, "Would you say it's a failure to be grateful or thankful to God?" I mean, when I heard that, it was very striking. It's a very provocative question, because I guess for most of us, when we're thinking about, oh, what's the worst sin that we've committed, that's probably not the first thing that comes to mind. We don't usually go straight to like, oh, it's because I haven't been thankful enough to God. But then I guess the follow-up question is, why not? Why not? And the reality is that I think we don't always remember to show gratitude, to give thanks, especially when times are difficult. And I would submit this is because deep down in our hearts, we a lot of times think that God owes us, even though we are the ones that should really owe God. And going back to verse 18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." And I remember last week when I was going through this verse with the kids in my class, and I was asking them, "Oh, do you understand this? Do you know what this means?" Some of the kids, asked the question like, "Wait a minute. So do we really need to give thanks in all circumstances? What if we're being punched? Do we still need to give thanks then?" And I thought it was a great question, as it brings out, I think, two things that this verse does not say. So firstly, it does not say give thanks for all circumstances. It says give thanks in all circumstances. So in other words, in the situation that the kids raise, you don't give thanks for being punched. God is also not asking you to be thankful for tragedy, for disease, for war. And if you're going through trials, facing problems, or experiencing loss, God is not asking you to give thanks for the trials, the problems, the losses that you're facing. And as PSAM preached a few weeks ago on Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 13, bad is always bad. Secondly, this verse also does not say give thanks in most circumstances, nor does it say give thanks in some circumstances. It's the verse clearly says give thanks in all circumstances. So back to the analogy of being punched, you don't have to give thanks for being punched, but even in that situation, in that circumstance, you should be thankful. So how do we draw the distinction? And I think the key is to remember that thankfulness should not be dictated by circumstance, but it should be dictated by our relationship with Christ. So if we focus on our circumstance, we focus on how we feel before we decide whether to give thanks or not. I think in our sinful nature, we would never be able to fulfill the command of giving thanks in all circumstance. We would naturally go gravitate towards complaining and getting upset when things get difficult. But what we really need to do is focus on God, on our heavenly and good Father, and not on the circumstances and not how we feel. I can think about two examples. One is Paul and Silas in prison. You know, I doubt they were thankful for being thrown into prison, but we famously know in Acts that they were praying and worshiping God while in prison. And another example is in John 16:33, where Jesus says, "I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Tribulation will come for all of us, and we do not need to be thankful for the tribulation, but we should still be thankful for our relationship with Jesus, because he has overcome the world. And this is ultimately about mindset. It's, you do not need to feel thankful before we give thanks. And what has really encouraged me during the difficult times this past year to help me stay in a state of thankfulness was to remind myself of two simple truths about God, which I hope can also encourage you too. And the first one is simply, God is in control. These past few months have no doubt been very difficult for the church, for brothers and sisters who've left and are staying at SP. You know, oftentimes, you know, for myself, I found myself venting to my wife, fretting about the future of the church, and for, you know, brothers and sisters who may be impacted by this situation. And in those times, my wife, you know, in her wisdom, you know, in her, she'd always say, there's no need to worry. You know, God is ultimately in control. And whenever she reminds me of that, I'm like, oh, of course. Yeah. Why am I getting so worried? Ultimately, this is out of my hands. It is in God's control. And, you know, for me personally, I would spend time recollecting about all the times in the past where God has been so faithful to me whenever things have been difficult. And it helped me to put me at ease. And in the Bible, we also see, you know, lots of situations like this. You know, I'm most reminded of Joseph, who went through a gamut of difficulties, from being sold to slavery by his brothers, being falsely accused, thrown into prison, and then forgotten by the cupbearer. Nothing seemed to go right for Joseph. But when Joseph eventually rose to power and saw his brothers again, he said to them, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." So despite all the difficult circumstances that Joseph went through, God ultimately was in control and had a wise plan for Joseph's life, which Joseph could be thankful for. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God being in control is, you know, such a simple truth that I think we all know in our head, but we sometimes struggle to know in our heart. And as followers of Christ, I pray that we will still be thankful in the midst of our difficulties with the confidence and knowledge in our hearts that God is in control and that he has a better plan for us. And the second truth that really encouraged me during the difficult times was God gives a greater revelation of himself during times of difficulties. So in Psalm 18:6, it says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. For his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." During our house church Thanksgiving dinner last week, we went around the room, as we do, asking what we've been thankful for the past year, or, you know, what we're thankful for now. And, you know, I thought about it, and then my response was eventually, "Oh, I'm actually thankful for what I have gone through this past year." And this is just, you know, despite the pain, the anxiety, the stress. My worship and quiet time actually became so much sweeter, so much more intimate, because of how desperately I really needed him in my life to give me guidance along the way. And, even though I don't want to go through the past few months, again, especially because of all the pain and hurt that it's caused so many people, I'm still thankful because through the experience, I personally was able to draw closer to God. C.S. Lewis in The Problem of Pain wrote, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." God uses suffering, basically, to bring us to the end of ourselves and back to Christ, and that's worth any cost. And brothers and sisters, take courage, that during our most difficult times, if we're willing to confess to him that there's nothing else that we can or know how to do, that is when God will come minister to you more powerfully than ever before. So, as we prepare ourselves for a time of worship, I'd just like to read a short story about John Wesley. So I understand the story happened during his college days, which was about 13 years before his conversion. So the story goes like this. During John Wesley's student days, a poor porter whose job it was to carry people's luggage knocked on Wesley's door one evening and asked to speak with him. During their conversation, Wesley observed the man's thin coat. It was a cold night, and Wesley suggested that he had better get another coat. "This is the only coat I have," the man replied, "and I thank God for it." Wesley asked the man if he had eaten, and the man answered, "I've had nothing today but water to drink, and I thank God for that." Wesley, growing uneasy in the man's presence, reminded him that he would have to leave soon or be locked out. "Then what would you do? What would you thank God for?" Wesley said. "I will thank God," replied the man, "that I have dry stones to lie upon." Wesley was deeply moved by the man's sincerity and said to him, "You thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, and no bed to lie on. What else do you thank God for?" The simple man replied, "I thank God that he has given me life, a heart to love him, and a desire to serve him." After the man had left with a coat from Wesley's closet, some money for food, and words of appreciation for the witness he had made, Wesley wrote in his journal, "I shall never forget that poor porter. He convinced me there's something in religion to which I am a stranger." Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to spend some time this morning as we go through worship to reflect upon your current situation, to reflect upon the past 11 months, and think about, have you been and are you thankful, in all the situations, whether they've been difficult or not, just like the porter in John Wesley's story was. And if not, you haven't been that thankful, then that's okay. And I would encourage you to spend time dialoguing with God, to ask the Holy Spirit to shift your perspective away from the circumstance to God Himself. For it says in verse 8, of the passage we read, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that we should be thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So let's just move into a time of worship.
just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us, kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step with us, kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Carried by your constant grace, held within your perfect peace. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Every step we are breathing in your grace, evermore we'll be breathing out your grace. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Every step we are breathing in your grace, evermore we'll be breathing out your grace. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. gone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, oh God, you are faithful.
Let's lift up our brothers and sisters, our loved ones who are battling through cancer and chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. So just spend some time lifting them up. Lift up all those our friends and family who are battling through different illnesses, but also just need salvation in our lives. Let's just pray that God will heal them, not just physically but also spiritually. Let's just lift up our brothers and sisters. Lift up friends and families who are battling through different types of illnesses and pains. So let's just spend some time lifting them up. Let's lift up our brothers who are seeking jobs. Let's just pray for God to, lead them to the right opportunities, the right jobs, that He'll open the right doors for them and just close the ones that they're not supposed to go to. So let's just lift up our brothers here this morning. Thank you. turn to our mission focus. Let's lift up SP New York. Let's lift up the leadership, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Let's pray for unity in that among the leadership. Let's pray for the spirit to move powerfully in SP New York. Let's also lift up North Korea and just pray for continued open doors for ministry opportunities. Let's also pray for missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia, and also lift up all the persecuted churches around the world, and especially in the Middle East. So let's just spend some time in prayer. Weekend gatherings. So let's lift up Sunday service, The Well, SP Kids, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Spin and Spill service and activities, migrant worker classes, and all meetings. So let's just pray for anointing on all these activities. We just also pray for Holy Spirit to guide all these activities as well. So let's just spend some time to lift them up. Those who are pregnant, sisters who are pregnant, so Amanda, Cecilia, Angela, and others. Let's just pray for a lot of rest for the mothers. Let's pray for smooth pregnancies. And, just pray for health for both the mom and the baby. Churches are meeting today. So that's Bowen House Church, Hollywood, King's Court, Mawan, and Southside. Just pray for anointing upon all the house church leaders as they guide the discussion, the prayer time. And just pray for just a very wholesome and fruitful time during the house church sessions, that they'll be able to really just get grow, have a more intimate relationship with you during that time. So let's just lift up the house churches. So Father, we just thank you again for this morning where we can come together and just begin our day in your word. We just thank you for this command that we need to give thanks in all circumstances. We say that in confidence. We want to live that out in our lives, knowing that ultimately you are in control of our lives and that we can trust in you. Father, I just thank you for, again, this time this morning to share and to worship you. And we just lift up the rest of this weekend to you. We pray that it'll be we'll be able to live in a manner that glorifies you. So we thank you. We love you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.